Dead America. Tales from the Frontline. Fort Hood. Chapter 1. Day 0. 4:15 a.m. Fort Hood, 70 miles north of Austin, Texas. Private Sanchez lay restless in his bunk, contorting his large 6'2" frame on the uncomfortable bed. The cacophony outside had grown more intense, an unusual level of activity for this early hour on the base. "Why do they have to do so many drills before the sun comes up?" Sanchez muttered to himself, his voice laced with annoyance as he attempted to find a comfortable position. Sanchez's decision to enlist shortly after his 19th birthday was driven by a desire for challenge and a way out of his small West Texas hometown. Yet, there were moments when he missed the quiet simplicity of that secluded town, especially moments like this one and the one that followed. Suddenly, the barracks lights flickered to life, and Sergeant Pierce barged in, his voice booming with an intensity that was all too familiar to Sanchez. Pierce was a career soldier, one of the most intense individuals Sanchez had ever encountered, and today, he seemed to be in rare form. "Everybody up! Everybody up right now! This is not a drill!" Sergeant Pierce's voice pierced through the stillness of the barracks. He moved swiftly through the mid-sized dormitory where 40 soldiers were roused from their slumber. A swift smack on the foot of one particularly heavy sleeper jolted him to life. Sanchez managed to sit up on the edge of his bunk, giving his eyes a moment to adjust to the sudden brightness. Pierce continued his tirade just a few steps away, compelling Sanchez to his feet and to the edge of the bed. "Everybody at attention." Pierce's orders were met with swift compliance as the soldiers snapped to their feet, forming neat rows. "As of right now, we are in a state of war," Pierce announced, and Sanchez felt a shiver race down his spine. Someone had declared war on the country. Who would be foolish enough to do that, knowing they'd face annihilation? "There was a terrorist attack just down the road in Austin," Pierce continued, his words landing like a heavyweight, biological in nature. "I don't have all the details, but I have all the information you need to know to fulfill your mission." Sanchez's mind raced. A biological attack. No enemy to fight. Just the prospect of donning a cumbersome and sweltering biosuit to deal with terrified civilians. Suddenly, his decision to leave his hometown behind didn't seem so wise. He snapped back to the present as Pierce carried on. "Our base has been ordered to evacuate to the north. The only way this happens is if we secure the Highway 190 interchange to the south of us." Again, Sanchez found himself deep in thought. Secure an interchange. From whom? If it was a bio attack, there shouldn't be anyone left to fight, should there? "This bioweapon they released," Pierce continued, "it does strange things to people. Drives them mad and makes them violent. They'll come at you, and you must put them down on sight." Sanchez couldn't believe what he was hearing. Shooting civilians. It couldn't be right. Despite his training to follow orders, he couldn't remain silent. "You want us to shoot civilians?" Sanchez questioned, and Pierce, initially irritated by the interruption, realized that Sanchez was voicing the concerns of others. This order required justification. "Yes, Private, I am ordering you to shoot civilians," Pierce responded, his voice firm. "Only they're not civilians anymore. Whatever this bioweapon is, it's ruthless and unlike anything our soldiers have encountered. There's no saving someone once they're infected. Putting them down is the only way." Pierce's unwavering gaze bore into Sanchez's soul, conveying understanding, albeit in the most brutal of circumstances. Sanchez nodded subtly before Pierce continued. "Full loadout out front in 5 minutes. Weapons are on the transports." Pierce paused, his demeanor shifting momentarily as he reached into his pocket and retrieved a sheet of paper bearing several names. "First, Vega, Bishop, Montgomery, Oliver, Jensen, Harvey, and Williamson. Report to the med bay." Confusion rippled through the room, especially among the soldiers whose names had just been called. "I'm not sick, Sergeant," Vega protested. Tierce, visibly perturbed by the challenge, turned towards Vega. "Did I stutter, soldier?" Pierce retorted sternly. "You have orders to report to the medbay, so do it, now. Everybody else, load out and be out front in 5. Move with purpose." The named soldiers were dejected, casting incredulous glances at each other. None of them felt genuinely ill, at least not seriously. Some had minor flu-like symptoms, but given the time of year, the lack of rest, and less than ideal living conditions, such symptoms were common. Private Sanchez turned to Bishop and Montgomery, who occupied the bunks adjacent to his. "Why are they sending us to the medbay?" he inquired. "I haven't so much as sneezed in the last week." Montgomery shrugged, a perplexed expression on his face. "Who knows? They wouldn't give us a reason even if we asked." "Didn't you guys go to Austin over the weekend?" Sanchez probed further. Bishop and Montgomery exchanged confused glances before nodding in confirmation. "Yeah, we did. So," Bishop replied. "Sarge said the attack happened in Austin," Sanchez explained. "Maybe they want to test for symptoms, you know, out of an abundance of caution." The two soldiers nodded in agreement with Sanchez, their concern still etched on their faces. "Pierce did say that the bioweapon causes people to go crazy," Montgomery added. "Maybe they saw a video of Bishop on 6th Street." Bishop chuckled, defending himself. "Hey, it's not my fault you wanted bottle service." Montgomery shot back. "How is it my fault that you treated that bottle of vodka like a cheap beer, chugging it like you're a bridesmaid at a bachelorette party?" "I know how to party." "Don't judge," Bishop retorted with a grin. Both men chuckled softly as they continued to get dressed, the tension in the room palpable despite their demeanor. Sanchez couldn't help but notice the fear that lingered in their eyes, a silent acknowledgement of the potential danger they faced. But he had a job to do, and he pushed those thoughts aside. As they geared up, Sanchez extended his fist, a customary gesture among friends. He tried to sound upbeat and hopeful, even though deep down, doubt nagged at him. "You two slackers don't take too long at the med tent now," Private Sanchez said, his words carrying a mix of camaraderie and uncertainty. "And let you have all the fun on the front lines." "Never," Private Bishop quipped. "Be safe out there, brother," Private Montgomery added. Sanchez nodded in response before breaking away from them, heading toward the rendezvous point. He joined the rest of the 24 soldiers where Sergeant Pierce stood on the back of one of the transports, a stern expression etched on his face. Coming to a stop beside Private Curtis, a scrawny 20-year-old who looked out of place in his oversized uniform, Sanchez couldn't help but notice the young man's uncertainty. "You good there, Curtis?" Sanchez inquired, his tone gentle. Private Curtis replied with hesitation. "No, not really, Sanchez. I'm a computer guy, not a frontline fighter." Sanchez sighed, his eyes reflecting the gravity of the situation. "Given how the Sarge is acting, I get the sense we're all frontline fighters tonight." Curtis's discomfort was evident as they both turned their attention back to Sergeant Pierce after he let out a deafening whistle. "Okay, everybody, listen up." Pierce's voice cut through the murmurs of the soldiers. "The evacuations are already underway, but they're facing resistance at the highway intersection. We need to secure it in both directions. Rules of engagement for this operation are simple." Pierce's instructions hung heavily in the air, and Sanchez couldn't help but sense the unease among the troops. "If someone is driving a car, you divert them off the highway onto the surface streets. If someone is on foot, you shoot to kill. No verbal warnings, no warning shots. Shoot to kill. And I know this goes against your training, but headshots only." Murmurs and obscenities spread among the soldiers, but Pierce raised his hand to quiet them down. He understood the weight of his orders and was willing to give his troops some leeway. "I know, I know, I'm not thrilled with it either, Pierce acknowledged. But whatever this bioweapon is, it makes the people it infects less tolerant to pain. Center mass shots don't do anything but get them angry. Headshot puts them to sleep. So if you see someone on foot, you aim for the head. The soldiers continue to grumble and express their doubts in hushed tones. Normally, Pierce would have shut down such talk, but he knew he was asking a lot from his troops tonight. Sanchez turned to Curtis, who looked increasingly uneasy. Headshots on moving targets in the dark. Is someone purposely trying to make our lives more difficult? Curtis's voice quivered as he replied, guessing that's not an easy thing to do. Sanchez nodded grimly. No, Curtis, it is not. It's like trying to hit a small melon that's running around on the other side of a football field, in the dark. It's possible. But there's maybe two or three guys on this base where that shot wouldn't involve a ton of luck. Desperation crept into Curtis's voice. What the hell am I supposed to do then? I barely passed marksmanship in basic. Sanchez tried to offer some reassurance. You wait until they're right up on you, then pop off rounds in controlled bursts and hope for the best. Curtis didn't look entirely convinced, but there was no more time for discussion as they started moving toward the transports, joining the back of the line. As they moved, the sound of heavy-duty transport helicopters powering up and taking off in the distance filled the air, followed by the roar of fighter jets passing overhead. Curtis voiced his anxiety. What is going on, Sanchez? This is crazy. Sanchez could only reply with a heavy sigh. I wish I knew, Curtis. I wish I knew. Chapter 2. The journey to the highway intersection was fraught with an eerie silence within the transport vehicle. A dozen soldiers, their faces marked with trepidation, occupied the interior, each clutching their assault rifles with white-knuckled intensity. These were men and women unaccustomed to the rigors of combat, their prior experience limited to controlled shooting ranges. Yet here they were, dispatched to the very front lines of their own homeland, not to confront terrorists or an invading force, but their fellow citizens. The tension in the air thickened as the transport navigated a particularly jarring bump in the road, sending several soldiers tumbling from their seats. In that moment, Private Sanchez reached out and steadied Private Curtis, who had nearly toppled into the center of the transport. "Are you good, Curtis?" Sanchez asked, concern etched on his face. Curtis, overwhelmed by the anxiety of the situation, merely responded with a nod and a trembling thumbs up. Sanchez, having been there himself, didn't press further, understanding how fear could paralyze a person. Sanchez's own moment of fear had come a few years earlier in his West Texas hometown during a gas station robbery. As a kid, he had gone to buy a soda when two armed men stormed in to hold up the place. The barrel of a gun pointed at him had rendered him silent, uncertain of how to react, except to stand frozen and hope for the best. Surveying the expressions on his fellow soldiers' faces, Sanchez recognized that same fear he had felt back then. He contemplated speaking up, but deep down, he knew that no words of reassurance could dispel the looming dread. Another violent bump jolted the transport as it approached the intersection. Sanchez's thoughts momentarily drifted to making a lighthearted pothole joke, but then reality struck him. He had driven on this road just days ago, and it had been freshly paved. So, if not potholes, what were they hitting? The thought of civilians crossed his mind, but he quickly dismissed it. Surely, no matter how dire the bioweapon situation was, it wouldn't drive people to throw themselves into oncoming traffic, would it? Before he could ponder further, Sergeant Pierce's voice blared over the transport's loudspeaker, snapping everyone to attention. 30 seconds. Go hot as soon as your boots hit the pavement. Pierce's orders were terse and resolute. Sanchez tightened his grip on his rifle, uncertainty clouding his mind as the moment of reckoning drew nearer. Thankfully, he was a couple of seats away from the hatch. As they encountered another punishing pothole, the vehicle abruptly slammed on its brakes. Sergeant Pierce's voice resonated through the cabin once more. Go! 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 The soldier positioned by the door swiftly released the latch, and the heavy hatch plummeted to the ground. Just as he began to issue an order, he was interrupted. As the metal hatch hit the ground, two sets of gruesome, rotting arms shot up into the transport, seizing the soldier's leg. In an instant, the soldier was yanked out, tumbling to the asphalt below. Ghoulish figures descended upon him, teeth sinking into his flesh. Guttural screams pierced the air, sending shockwaves of terror through the remaining soldiers. Everyone froze, including Private Curtis, trapped between Sanchez and the open door. Private Sanchez was the first to snap back to reality, surging to his feet. He grabbed Curtis by the shirt and pulled him away from the door. The soldier beside Sanchez joined the effort, yanking Curtis to safety. Sanchez swiftly readied his rifle, rushing toward the transport's edge. What he witnessed was a horrifying tableau. Two zombies feasting on the fallen soldier. One clung to the leg, the other to the throat. Without hesitation, Sanchez let his instincts take over. He aimed his rifle and squeezed the trigger, and the creature attacking the soldier's leg met a gruesome end as its head exploded like an overripe melon. The other ghoul, however, remained undeterred, continuing its assault on the fallen soldier's throat. Sanchez adjusted his aim toward the throat zombie, but a grim realization washed over him. The soldier on the ground was already dead. Sanchez fired another shot, blasting the side of the zombie's head and causing it to slump lifelessly onto the fallen soldier. Sanchez glanced back into the transport, meeting the stunned faces of his comrades. He wasted no time, barking orders to galvanize them into action. Everybody out, now! We gotta fight! With urgency, Sanchez pivoted toward the battlefield. They were perched at the top of the on-ramp, overlooking the bridge spanning the highway. A nightmarish scene. Overturned trucks lay strewn about, one of them engulfed in flames, casting eerie shadows on the figures that moved amidst the chaos. Nearby, the bursts of muzzle flashes illuminated the battlefield, striking down advancing threats. But soon, the flashes were overwhelmed by the encroaching darkness. Sanchez leaped from the transport, hitting the ground with determination. The world around him descended into chaos as he scanned the area, keeping a vigilant eye on the shifting shadows. Moments later, he heard heavy footsteps approaching from his right. He whirled around and spotted a man in military fatigues charging toward him. The moonlight offered just enough illumination to reveal the bloodstains on the man's face and uniform. Private Sanchez lowered his shoulder and lunged at the oncoming threat, delivering a forceful blow to the creature's upper torso. The impact sent the zombie sprawling to the ground, affording Sanchez the opportunity to raise his weapon and deliver a lethal shot to its head. Sanchez stared at the fallen man, his mind grappling with the inexplicable sight of a soldier turned into one of those creatures. He muttered to himself, "How the hell are you one of those things? How did you get exposed to the bioweapon?" Before he could piece it together, cries erupted from the transport he had just exited. He swiftly turned, rifle raised, but there was no target in sight. Helplessly, he watched as the first soldier, who had been dragged from the transport earlier, now sat upright. Sanchez had been certain the man was dead moments ago, yet now he clung to the leg of another soldier, sinking his teeth into the calf. Panic-stricken, the bitten soldier and three others standing nearby opened fire, reducing the prone zombie to a mutilated heap, blood spurting violently. Only a headshot ended the creature's torment. Two soldiers stationed in front of the transport door attempted to assist their bitten comrade to his feet. As they did, a soldier from inside the vehicle screamed, "Incoming!" Sanchez's gaze followed the direction they were pointing, and in the dim moonlight, he spotted a dozen nightmarish creatures sprinting relentlessly toward the transport. Fear seized him as he observed the two soldiers on the ground hastily dropping their comrade and raising their weapons. The thunderous cracks of gunfire echoed through the night, as they fired upon the approaching horde. In their desperation, the two soldiers blocked the transport's door, preventing the remaining eight from emerging. The soldiers stationed at the doorway joined the chaotic firefight, but the darkness played tricks on their aim, and the sheer number of assailants made it an impossible task. Sanchez's finger hovered over the trigger of his weapon, but he hesitated. Helplessness washed over him as he watched the mob overrun the two soldiers on the ground and the fallen comrade. Panic erupted inside the transport as bullets flew towards the door, but within moments, the once constant gunfire fell eerily silent. Private Sanchez stood there, dumbstruck, his mind reeling as he processed the devastation. In less than 30 seconds, his entire group had been wiped out. Amid the deafening silence, a voice pierced through the chaos. "Get down, soldier!" Sergeant Pierce's urgent command jolted Sanchez back to reality. He turned to see two zombies rushing toward him, and he obeyed without hesitation, dropping to the cold pavement. Gunshots rang out from Pierce's weapon, their precise shots finding their marks in the heads of the approaching creatures, dropping them just yards away from Sanchez. Struggling to regain his footing, Sanchez was aided by Sergeant Pierce. "Get up, soldier. We're getting our asses kicked out here. Are you good?" Sanchez nodded shakily, his voice barely above a whisper. "Good. Now where's your team?" All Private Sanchez could do was shake his head and point towards the transport, which now lay eerily quiet, except for some movement on the ground. "They're all gone, Sarge. Most of them never made it out the door." Sergeant Pierce clenched his jaw in frustration. "Damn it." "They're going to get back up, though," Sanchez added urgently. "What are you talking about, soldier?" Pierce asked, his brow furrowing. "First man out got bitten on the throat." "He was dead. I'm sure of it." Saw the life leave his eyes. A minute later, he was up and biting someone else. Sergeant Pierce grimaced. "If I live through this, I'm smacking the shit out of the captain who sent us out here without all the intel." Pierce reached for a hand grenade on his belt, pulled the pin, and hurled it towards the transport just as a few figures began to emerge from inside. Both men watched in horror as Private Curtis, missing chunks of flesh and behaving like a crazed, hungry animal, stepped out, his foot missing the ramp, causing him to fall face first onto the ground just before the grenade detonated. The ensuing explosion created an intense fireball that illuminated the battlefield as a shockwave rippled through. Pierce turned to Sanchez, urgency in his eyes. "Come on, soldier. We gotta move." The two soldiers sprinted towards the bridge, where 10 others were hastily setting up a makeshift perimeter. Fires burned around them, and lifeless bodies lay scattered across the scene. Sergeant Pierce used rhythmic hand signals to signal their survival to the rest of the troops. As they neared the line, gunfire erupted from their comrades, directed in the opposite direction. Sanchez winced at the sound, but quickly composed himself. Another soldier approached Sergeant Pierce as he reached the line. "Status?" the sergeant asked. "Eastern flank covered," the soldier reported confidently. "If the other team is half as good as us, we got this on lockdown." Both Pierce and Sanchez exchanged a defeated glance. The soldier then turned to Sanchez, sizing him up. "I am the other team," Sanchez admitted. "Damn. Sorry, man," the soldier replied. "Save it. Give me Snyder, Neil, and Shelton. We're going to have to make do for as long as we can. You get set up, and I'll call it in," Pierce ordered. The soldier hurriedly returned to his position and began rallying the others, while Sanchez walked back to the line that was now under his command. A car sat abandoned in the middle of the road, blocking their path. Sanchez checked inside, confirming it was empty except for a pool of blood in the driver's seat. Using the butt of his rifle, he shattered the car's window, reached in, and shifted the vehicle into neutral. He pushed it to the side, allowing the car to roll gently into a concrete barrier before taking cover behind it. Private Sanchez aimed his weapon into the darkness, aware that something lurked just beyond his sight, concealed by the insufficient moonlight. A few moments later, the other three soldiers joined him on the line. Snyder spoke for the group. "Are you the other team?" Sanchez nodded. "Yeah, I'm Sanchez." "I'm Snyder. That's Neil and Shelton. Where do you want us?" Snyder inquired. Sanchez, not used to being in command, agreed to take charge for the sake of efficiency. "You're here with me. Neil, Shelton, take up position on the other side behind that flipped car. Visibility is low, so wait until you have a clear shot to engage. These things are fast, vicious, and don't mess around." The soldiers nodded, following his orders as Snyder positioned himself at the rear of the car. "What happened to your squad?" Snyder asked, breaking the tense silence. "Ambushed the moment the door opened. 30 seconds later, they were overwhelmed," Sanchez recounted, his voice filled with sorrow. "How'd you get out alive?" Snyder questioned, his expression a mix of curiosity and sympathy. "Dumb luck. I was the first one out the door, took point to take on one of those things. By the time I did, they were overwhelmed," Sanchez replied, shaking his head at the cruel twist of fate. Snyder simply nodded, not wanting to push the issue further. As they stood in the dark, Sergeant Pierce returned. "Command says they need 45 minutes to get the last group out. They'll pick us up on the way." "Now, hold this line," Pierce commanded. "Yes, sir," Sanchez affirmed, his voice resolute. Pierce walked away, leaving Sanchez to his thoughts. He glanced at his watch, setting a 45-minute timer. "Less than an hour. We got this," Sanchez murmured, determination burning in his eyes as he prepared to face the nightmarish horrors that surrounded them. Chapter 3. Sanchez fought the nagging temptation to check his watch, resisting for a full 3 minutes before succumbing to its allure. An audible sigh escaped him as he saw the timer display 42 minutes. Private Snyder chimed in, attempting to deter Sanchez's watch-checking habit. "You'll drive yourself crazy if you keep doing that." Sanchez replied with a hint of frustration, "Trying my best, man." Snyder, offering some reassurance, asked, "First time in the shit?" Sanchez nodded, his nerves palpable. "Yep. It gets easier, brother. Just deep breaths, and you'll be fine," Snyder said. "Appreciate that," Sanchez replied, finding some solace in Snyder's encouragement. The two soldiers continued their vigilant watch over the darkened street before them, knowing that something was lurking, ready to emerge. About 100 yards away, a streetlight provided just enough illumination to reveal a street corner. Sanchez kept his gaze fixed on that spot. Another minute crawled by before Sanchez spotted movement through his scope. A twisted, grotesque creature stumbling into the light, scanning the surroundings for prey. Movement at the light, Sanchez alerted the others. Snyder adjusted his aim, tracking the creature. "Got him. As long as he stays down there, we do nothing," Sanchez cautioned. "Copy that." Moments later, gunfire erupted behind them. Initially, it was a sporadic few shots, but it quickly escalated. The noise caught the attention of the creature in the light, prompting it to emit a haunting moan as it sprinted towards the bridge. "Looks like our friend knows we're here," Snyder noted. The soldiers exchanged anxious glances as dozens of other creatures emerged from the darkness, exposed in the light. Panic swept over them, but they returned to their scopes. "Open fire," Sanchez ordered. All four soldiers unleashed a barrage of gunfire towards the approaching horde, taking down a few but failing to consistently hit their targets in the head. The soldiers behind them intensified their fire as well. The creatures on Sanchez's side closed within 40 yards, but the soldiers concentrated their fire on the leading monsters. Bullets pierced skulls, felling the creatures and causing those behind them to stumble. This bought the soldiers a few precious seconds to eliminate the fallen creatures on the ground. As Sanchez swapped out his magazine, he glanced back to assess the situation. He glimpsed the other line in shambles, with packs of ghouls feasting on fallen comrades, and several zombies charging towards them, the nearest one just 10 yards away. "Snyder!" Sanchez cried out, slamming another magazine into his rifle. He aimed and fired, hitting the zombie in the chest, but it did little to slow its advance. As the creature closed in, Sanchez spun and used his rifle to shove it to the ground in front of a nearby car. He quickly raised his weapon and fired a shot into the back of its head. However, before he could turn to engage the other oncoming creatures, one of them lunged at Snyder, who had been absorbed in firing his weapon. Sanchez watched in horror as the ghoul clamped onto Snyder's neck, tearing out a chunk and dragging him to the ground. He had no time to check on the other two soldiers across the bridge, because more creatures were approaching. The sound of heavy footsteps echoed, drawing Sanchez's attention to a trio of zombies rushing toward him, just yards away. He leaped back onto the hood of the car and quickly scrambled over it. As he hit the pavement, he sprang up and aimed his rifle at the creatures. The zombies slammed into the car, not attempting to climb it, but continuing to lunge forward with outstretched arms. Sanchez didn't have long to contemplate their odd behavior. He opened fire, accurately placing 3 rounds into their foreheads, dropping them. Turning his gaze to the other two soldiers, he witnessed them being overwhelmed by a pack of creatures. Just as he was about to refocus his aim, he noticed a couple of ghouls approaching from behind the car. He raised his weapon and fired, striking one zombie in the head. However, his second shot missed, and the remaining ghoul was too close for him to reacquire his target. Private Sanchez took a step back toward the barrier on the bridge, waiting for a split second as the zombie closed in. The creature lunged, and Sanchez swiftly ducked to let its arms pass over him. Seizing the moment, Sanchez used the creature's momentum to fling it over the side of the bridge. He glanced over the edge as it collided with the pavement below, narrowly avoiding another pack of approaching creatures. The impact infuriated the zombies, and they began scouring for their next victim. Sanchez had only seconds to make a crucial decision. He surveyed the area, the damaged car in front of him, the blocked bridge with a swarm of zombies, and the road below leading to a chaotic downtown area. Fires burned. Figures moved, and the bulk of the action seemed concentrated on the bridge. Sanchez also looked back at the on-ramp they had used, noticing the encroaching runners. "Damn it," he muttered, forced to make a life-or-death choice in the midst of the chaos. He sprinted toward the flaming wreckage of the transport, a stark reminder of the horrors that had unfolded before him. The charred and dismembered remains of his comrades lay strewn about, but there was no time for mourning. He pushed the gruesome sight out of his mind and pressed on. Ahead, the on-ramp pavement stretched out before him. To his left was a residential neighborhood, and straight ahead, the business district beckoned. Sanchez briefly considered the neighborhood, but quickly dismissed the idea. He concluded homeowners were likely armed. This was Texas after all. The last thing he needed was a confrontation. As he reached the halfway point of the on-ramp, a truck roared out of the neighborhood, plowing through a group of ghouls that had been closing in on him. Gratitude began to well up in him, but that feeling was short-lived as he spotted someone in the back of the truck, taking aim at him. "Don't shoot! Don't shoot!" he shouted desperately. His pleas fell on deaf ears as the trigger was pulled and bullets sprayed the pavement around him. Fortunately, the shooter's aim was terrible, and Sanchez managed to reach the barrier on the side of the ramp unscathed. Without hesitation, he leaped over the edge, landing on a steep dirt incline that sent him sliding down to the road below. Struggling to maintain his balance, he tumbled backward, eventually coming to a thudding stop on the pavement. Gasping for breath, he forced himself to rise, listening to the distant gunfire from the truck, which soon gave way to the screeching of tires as it sped off toward town. Unfortunately, the commotion wasn't enough to divert all the creatures away. Sanchez's eyes darted down the road, where a side road intersected with the on-ramp, and he saw movement. A cough escaped his lips as he tried to catch his breath, inadvertently drawing the attention of several nearby creatures. They began sprinting toward him, drawing even more of their kind in his direction. Knowing that firing his weapon would only attract further danger, he made a swift decision to sprint into the nearby neighborhood. The area appeared pleasant enough, with two-story homes, many of which had their lights on. Spotting a house on the next corner with all its lights blazing, he held out hope that its occupants were up. As Sanchez raced toward the house, he stole a glance backward and saw the pursuing zombies hot on his heels. "Please be awake. Please be awake," he muttered a desperate prayer. Arriving at the front window, he saw that not only were the lights on, but the curtains had been torn down and blood stained the glass. His heart sank as he peered inside and witnessed a horrific scene. A mangled corpse lay in the living room, and several creatures roamed about, searching for their next victim. To his astonishment, the corpse on the floor still twitched, missing so much flesh that it couldn't rise. Sanchez knew he had to move quickly. He darted around the side of the house, taking cover behind a chest-high wooden fence. As he moved through the backyard, he glanced over his shoulder, seeing that the back door was open. One of the creatures inside spotted him, letting out a moan as it sprinted towards him. Sanchez rushed towards the back fence, the creature nipping at his heels. He managed to leap over the fence, landing hard on the ground. There was a loud thud as the ghoul that was in pursuit slammed into the wooden fence, unable to climb over it. Taking a moment to catch his breath, he scanned his surroundings for immediate threats, but found none. His gaze then shifted to the neighboring house, which was dark inside. "Well, at least nothing bad looks like it's going on in there," he sighed with a hint of relief. With his weapon at the ready, he rushed to the back of the house, trying to move as quietly as possible. Reaching the bedroom window, he peered inside and noted the absence of furniture. He approached the back door, spotting only a small folding table with pamphlets advertising the house for sale. "Sold," he quipped, as he used his knife to skillfully unlock the door and slipped inside, meticulously clearing the bottom floor before allowing himself to relax. The kitchen held a small sign on the refrigerator that read "Free snacks." "At least something's going right today," he said as he opened the door and retrieved a bag of trail mix and a flavored seltzer water. Tucking them into his pocket, he then ascended the stairs cautiously, his gun trained on every corner. After clearing the upper floor, he entered the master bedroom at the front of the house. To his delight, it was partially staged with a queen-sized bed and a chair in the corner. Sanchez dragged the chair over to the window, settled in, and cracked open his snack. His gaze dropped to the street below, where movement was rampant. Checking his watch, which displayed a countdown of 32 minutes, he couldn't help but mutter to himself, "20-minute break. Then I have to figure out a way to get back to that bridge." Chapter 4. Private Sanchez crouched in the dimly lit room, his senses on high alert. He munched on the last remnants of his trail mix, the crunching sound reverberating through the tense silence. His gaze remained fixed on the eerie movements outside, where a throng of undead continued to roam. The danger lay in their scattered formation. A single misstep, and he would be swarmed. He methodically inspected his rifle, swapping the half-empty magazine for his last full one. The cold, heavy blade of a knife rested at his side, a grim reminder of his dwindling options. Sanchez prayed he wouldn't have to rely on it, for if he did, it likely meant his time had run out. Glancing at his watch, he noted the unforgiving countdown. 11 minutes. An involuntary sigh escaped his lips as he braced himself for what felt like the longest, most agonizing 11 minutes of his life. Descending the stairs toward the back door, a chilling thought crept into his mind. What if the evacuation began earlier than expected, leaving him stranded in this nightmare? Sanchez pushed the fear aside, clinging to the hope that reinforcements would arrive when that timer hit zero. As he reached the back door, he scanned the surroundings. A lone creature skulked in the backyard, lured by the moans of a trapped zombie in a neighboring yard. Sanchez's lips curled into a smirk, and he retrieved his knife. "Well, maybe this will come in handy after all," he said quietly to himself. With a deep breath to steady his nerves, he carefully turned the doorknob, ensuring not to alert the unaware creature fixated on its prey beyond the fence. Sanchez stepped outside, his grip on the knife firm, poised for a strike. The unsuspecting ghoul fell silently as the blade pierced its skull and it crumpled to the ground. A faint noise escaped the fallen ghoul, sending a shiver down Sanchez's spine. He anxiously scanned the area, relieved to find no other creatures drawn to the sound. Across the fence, another ghoul moaned and thrashed, desperately seeking its next victim. Sanchez opted not to engage, hoping it would serve as a distraction should anything else venture into the backyard. Private Sanchez moved stealthily along the wooden fence, staying low and prepared. He reached its edge, casting his gaze toward the neighboring house where a trio of zombies lurked. The on-ramp to safety was a block away, teeming with even more of the relentless undead. He knew he couldn't delay using his firearm for much longer. Sanchez noticed the back door to the nearby house cracked open ever so slightly. With 8 minutes left on the clock, he had no other choice but to take the risk. Breaking from cover, he sprinted towards the back door, his heavy footsteps drawing the attention of one of the creatures. The ghoul charged after him, but Sanchez reached the door first. As he tried to slam it shut, the creature's brute force shattered the door off its hinges. Quick thinking allowed Sanchez to deflect the creature away from him, pushing the door in the opposite direction. The ghoul tumbled to the ground but quickly scrambled to its feet. With no time to spare, Sanchez rushed through the house, knocking pictures off the wall in his wake. He knew he couldn't open the door and escape without dealing with the pursuing creature. Reaching the living room, he darted around a recliner and tipped it over, causing the zombie to trip and crash to the floor. This brief respite afforded him just enough time to reach the front door, slamming it shut behind him. The loud, echoing sound of the door slamming was a stark reminder of his mistake, and the chorus of moans that followed filled the early morning air. "Fuck," Sanchez said to himself. Sanchez broke away from the door, sprinting with all his might towards the embankment that led up to the on-ramp. The harsh echoes of footsteps on the pavement reverberated in both directions, growing louder as they drew closer, but still distant. As Sanchez reached the embankment, he managed to climb several yards up before his boots began to slip on the steep slope. He dug his boot heel into the ground, anchoring himself, and continued his ascent. Below, several zombies attempted to follow him, but they struggled to maintain their footing and tumbled back down the incline. He didn't dare look back, knowing that the sight of the pursuing creatures would only stoke his fear. So he kept moving upward, his destination just 10 yards away from the top. The collective moans of the pursuing undead attracted the attention of others above, prompting one particularly determined zombie to charge toward the barrier. With a mighty crash, it vaulted over the top and hurtled down the embankment, heading straight for Sanchez. In that split second, Sanchez's eyes darted around, searching for a lifeline. He spotted a small bush to his side and lunged toward it, landing flat on his stomach and clutching the plant, praying it had sturdy roots. The approaching zombie thrashed at him as it slid by, knocking other undead aside like bowling pins when it reached the bottom. Under the weight of Sanchez, the bush's roots began to give way. He scrambled to his feet, driving his heel into the ground for support, releasing his grip on the now limp plant, held in place by only a few fragile strands of root. A sigh of relief escaped him as he continued his ascent. However, more creatures converged on his position as he neared the top. With limited options, Private Sanchez opened fire, each shot carefully aimed to sever a head from a pursuing zombie, with the immediate threat somewhat diminished. He leaped over the railing, only to encounter more resistance from the creatures at the top of the on-ramp. He unleashed a hail of bullets from his rifle, dropping one creature after another. But as the mob closed in to within 15 yards of him, he heard the dreaded sound he had feared, the empty click when he pulled the trigger. Sanchez quickly dropped the magazine from his rifle, attempting to load a partially filled one, but his nerves betrayed him, and he fumbled the magazine onto the ground. Panicking, he bent down to retrieve it and started rushing forward. Knowing he had no time to reload and take aim, he shifted into linebacker mode, singling out the nearest creature. Lowering his shoulder, he slammed into it, sending it tumbling over the barrier and down the embankment. Sanchez veered across the road, his legs pumping as hard as they could. Fortunately, the creatures on the road were spaced out, allowing him to plow through them one by one. Reaching the top of the ramp, he scanned for any sign of vehicles but found none. Instead, he saw scores of ghouls, many of them former soldiers like himself. The cacophony of footsteps and moans from all directions signaled that he had only seconds to formulate a plan. Spotting the car he had been firing behind earlier, the only vehicle still on wheels, he sprinted towards it, sidestepping a creature on his way. Sanchez climbed on top of the car, finally having a moment to insert the last magazine. He stood there defiantly, surveying the swarming ghouls converging on his position. "Well, at least I can go down taking as many of you out with me," he said to himself. As the creatures slammed into the car, shaking it, Sanchez remained steadfast on top. He singled out his first target, the largest zombie in his vicinity. Realizing that its extended reach could pose a problem, he pulled the trigger and, with a well-placed shot, put it down swiftly. Repeatedly, Sanchez picked off targets, each round finding its mark in their heads. But for every zombie he eliminated, two more emerged to take their place. He continued firing until he heard that dreadful click of an empty rifle. For good measure, he aimed at one more creature and pulled the trigger, only to be met with the cold metallic click once again. Sanchez checked his watch. There were only 5 seconds left on the timer. He glanced both ways on the highway and saw nothing. Defeated, he dropped the rifle onto the car's roof, where it landed amidst outstretched zombie arms. "Well, you gave it a shot," Sanchez said, seemingly giving up. He stood there, zombies clawing at his boots, uncertain of his next move. Pulling out his knife, he examined it and chuckled. "Might be less painful to use this on myself," he thought to himself. Sanchez looked down at the zombies, their vacant eyes staring up at him. Then he adopted a defiant stance. "Nah, when that time comes, I'm going to go out fighting." Sanchez surveyed the creatures below, searching for a target. He settled on Private Snyder, who had pushed his way to the front of the horde. He looked at Snyder with regret, acknowledging that he had tried to save him but had ultimately failed. Before he could make a potentially fatal stab, he heard a distant horn. Private Sanchez's eyes shot to the surface street below the bridge, where a massive transport vehicle was headed towards him. He began waving his hands frantically, desperately trying to capture its attention. The response was a series of blaring horn blasts from the approaching vehicle. "Hell yeah!" Sanchez exclaimed. Relief washed over Sanchez as his salvation arrived. He watched as the enormous vehicle plowed through the zombies in its path, using its front grille to send them flying. It navigated the on-ramp and stopped beside the car Sanchez had been perched on. "Need a lift, soldier?" the driver inquired. "More than you know," Sanchez happily replied. The driver extended a hand, pulling Private Sanchez into the cab and shutting the door. As the vehicle roared to life, Sanchez settled into his seat, his eyes glazed with a 1,000-yard stare. The driver looked over, his concern evident. "You all right over there, Private?" the driver inquired. "Pretty far from it," Sanchez replied. "Well, Just get settled in. We've got a long journey ahead, the driver responded. Where are we headed? Sanchez asked. Kansas. Private Sanchez looked baffled. What the hell are we going to be doing in Kansas? Sanchez asked. Your guess is as good as mine, Private. But they don't pay me to think. They pay me to drive, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, the driver retorted as he hit the gas. Sanchez leaned back in his seat, gazing at the devastation left behind on the bridge. He was relieved to have survived this encounter, but he couldn't help but wonder how long they would all be able to endure if this was the way the world was now. The end.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.